Hello everyone, this is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Sunday, August 16th market recap. And first off, just to let you know, in case you weren't aware, Steve Nelson is not doing the weekend newsletter this weekend. He was out of town with his family, and so I'm doing everything on it my own. I had planned to keep it short, but as you look at the newsletter here, there's about 70 charts. So once again, I failed on that aspect. I have too many charts to cover. I guess I'm a perfectionist. Anyway, I'll cover them as quickly as possible. So a lot of you are aware of these already, so let's go ahead and get started here. It's getting late. The first table here shows you a breakdown of what the major indexes, sectors, and commodities did last week. You can see a lot of red here, only a few areas of green. So it was basically a down week for the market. And this week officially snaps a four-week winning streak, which, by the way, began after those failed head and shoulder tops back in early July. The market had a four-week winning streak from that time. So that breaks that winning streak. Anyway, the major indexes, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, all had down weeks. The major indexes lost anywhere from 0.5% all the way to 1.5% via the Russell 2000, which led to the downside. Sector-wise, you see quite a bit of red in here as well. Banks still closed up slightly, as did healthcare. And commodities, you see a lot of red as well. The only thing that closed up were oil stocks, copper, and silver. And as I've shown before, commodities and the general stock market are moving together. Everything is moving in tandem. And those of you who know Robert Prechter with Elliott Wave, he's been talking about that as well. Everything is moving together, and that's one scary thing, because that's generally what happened in the last 300 years whenever you had depressions, or before you had depressions. Commodities and general stock market moved together. So, and one thing you're aware of, because everything is moving together, the one key thing in the market continues to be the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar, in our opinion, as well as Bob Prechter, the U.S. dollar appears to be either putting in a major bottom or very close to doing so. And this is against the norm. Everyone thinks the dollar is going to die. You see so many reports in the media about, you know, China, Russia, etc., all wanting to, you know, take a, basically have a new reserve world currency, or, you know, have the take away some of the dominance of the U.S. dollar. But, you know, and that eventually will probably occur, but generally when you see that stuff, you're near some kind of major inflection point. Also, the number of dollar bears is extremely high. It's about 97%. There's only about 3% U.S. dollar bulls. And, you know, whenever that occurs, that's closer to a bottom than another major sell-off in U.S. dollar. So, anyway, I'll discuss the U.S. dollar below, so let's go ahead and move on. The second table you can see here shows you the economic news for next week. We have home builders, PPI, CPI, Philly Fed, etc. By the way, this week is options expiration week, and I'll be discussing that a little bit below. I have some Max Payne charts of the ETFs, which I will be discussing. So let's get started. I'm dividing this newsletter up into several parts. First off, we're going to take a look at the big picture stuff. Then we're going to take a look at the daily index charts, 60-minute charts, 30-minute, and 15-minute charts. Then we're going to take a look at some market indicators. Then we're going to take a look at foreign stocks, and specifically we're going to take a look at China. And then after that, we're going to take a look at commodities, crude oil, and then gold and precious metals and the U.S. dollar. And finally, I have some watch list trade ideas for next week. So let's get started. The first chart here is the big picture stuff, as you can see. These are the big picture charts that we cover every weekend. And many of you who have been members here know these charts, but we have new members all the time, so I need to cover it. The first chart here is the weekly chart of the S&P 500. It has an 89-week moving average, and we've been discussing this chart since the beginning of the year. And you can see my original comments on March 10th that the market looked like it had put in a major bottom via a primary wave A, we call it. And at the time, we stated that primary wave B, we would expect it to retrace 38 to 50% of the entire decline down. That put a price target of either 1,015 to 1120 on the S&P. And we still considered all that whole move up to that area to be a bear market rally move. And we stated that that move could occur 3 to 6 months. Well, it looks like it's going to occur in about 6 months or so. And anyway, the basically, there's no reason to change our analysis yet at this time. There's a lot of people calling for a new bull market, and that's fine. You know what? I hope they're right. I hope we were wrong, because it would be better than us going into another major decline like we foresee via the long-term Elliott wave count. So I hope we are wrong in this aspect. It really doesn't matter. We trade the trend at breakpoint trades. If the market moves higher, we'll profit. If the market tops out and moves lower and has a devastating decline in wave C, then we'll profit from that as well. No big deal. But this is still our primary wave count. There's no reason for us to change it yet. Why? Because the market is simply doing what we said it would do. We said it would retrace 38% of the move down from the October 2007 highs. And that's what it's done. We said it could even retrace 50%. It hasn't done that yet. So unless the market really takes out those levels, why should we change and become... why should we change our long-term analysis and call this a new bull market? There's no reason for us to. This chart is still valid. We consider this a primary wave B counter trend rally, and then another wave C decline to come, maybe this fall and into next year, which could be pretty bad. And we stated when the market had bottomed, we also stated that the market would rally up high enough and fast enough to cause a lot of people to turn bullish, and that's what's happened. So again, you know, our analysis is playing out so far. There's no reason for us to change it yet. The next chart is another weekly chart of the S&P. We've shown this many times. A one-third Fibonacci time retracement would be in that the two vertical purple lines you see there. And what I mean by one-third Fibonacci time retracement is the whole decline from October 2007 to the March lows was 17 months. Therefore, a 38% Fibonacci of 17 months would put it into that time range. And so that's another possible area. That's, you know, there's, when you use Fibonacci numbers, you can either look at price retracement or extension, or you can look at time. And this is a time, a use of time for Fibonacci analysis. So that's the big picture. And here's another chart of the S&P. Here's a daily chart. And this actually belongs below, I guess, but this is another. This breaks down our longer-term primary wave B countertrend rally into some wave counts. The top in June was wave A, and the pullback was wave B, and we are in some kind of wave C now, major wave C. Once major wave C is over, and those are in purple, by the way, guys, then that would end this whole bear market rally, and the primary wave B, which you see in green, the large B at the top of the chart. And if the market tops out here and starts a pullback, this could be a B in red, and then you get one more into a C. So there you go. The next chart is a weekly chart of the NASDAQ, and there is major resistance approaching at the downtrend line from the October 2007 highs. And notice how you also come in a confluence of resistance at two Fibonacci retracement areas. Whenever you see a lot of resistance area come together, that makes it very valid. We also have a 200-week EMA there as well. So you got basically four confluencing resistance areas. And so, again, that makes it a very strong resistance area. So that's an area to watch as well. The next thing I want to cover again, I discussed this extensively last week, but I am still getting questions about it, and so I want to cover it one more time. this next chart is a chart that we've covered many times. It's a weekly chart of the S&P. It uses a 13 and 34-week exponential moving average. Those of you familiar with stock charts also might know John Murphy. I think he's been on CNBC before, and some of the FNN, the Financial Network, back in the 90s. He's also a technical analysis author. And one of the weekly charts he likes to use is a weekly chart of the S&P with a 1334-week exponential moving average. Those are Fibonacci numbers, by the way. Anyway, he stated that crossovers of the 1334-week moving average can sometimes signal bull and bear markets or major trends, and you can see it's done quite well since the late 90s. Though it does whipsaw quite a bit, you can see a whipsaw back in 98 when the moving averages crossed a little bit and then they for a sell, and then they crossed right back up. You can see whipsaw. Well, as you can see, about a week ago, the moving averages crossed to the upside. The 13 EMA, weekly EMA, crossed over the 34 EMA. So we keep getting a lot of questions about, well, does that mean it's a new bull market? Why aren't you saying it's a bull market, etc.? There's also another variation to this chart. It uses a daily S&P 500 with a 50 and 200-day exponential moving average. And that is sometimes also called the golden cross. I discussed that last week as well, but I'm not going to discuss it this week. They're really the same thing, so let me discuss this. So the moving averages has crossed. That's great. But does that really mean it's a bull market? Well, it could be, or it could be another whipsaw. If you truly believe this is a bull market, then, and you want to buy, then feel free to do it. However, if it reverses and crosses back down, then you must adhere to it absolutely. That means you must sell, even if it's for a loss, okay? Think of it like a mechanical moving average system, just like we have on the website. We have a lot of moving average mechanical systems in the premium content section. So if it whips, saws down, then you have to sell. Now, in our opinion, we think this is going to be a whipsaw. We could be wrong, and guys, I hope we are wrong. I really do. Because I don't want to see the market going down to new lows, or you know, what it would do to the population, what it would do to people's 401ks, your friends and family. I don't want to see it. But unfortunately, I think this will be a whipsaw. And let me discuss why. The next table shows you the statistics of the 1334 weekly EMA crossover. And by the way, I have a typo in weekly. It says wheelie. So anyway, you can see the buy and sell signals going all the way back to 1960. That's when the S&P 500 started trading. I don't use the Dow because this system doesn't work on the Dow for some reason. So I'm using the S&P, and that's what John Murphy uses it for. First off, the percentage gain. Notice that there's a lot of red in here. There's a lot of black, too. So if you look at the statistics at the bottom, you can see that this system, there has been 39% losing trades. Basically, there's 41 total crossovers and 16 of them are losers. So that means 39% of your trades are whipsaws, or about 4 out of 10. And so it's not a system that's just going to be 100% winners. You're going to get whipsaws. Your average whipsaw is 6.8%. Your average winning trade is 18%. Okay. Some other key statistics are the average time for winning trades, I have this backwards too, is 24 months, and the average time for losing trades is 4 months. Okay. However, there's a couple things that I don't like in these statistics. First off, just take a look at the chart above again. Notice how V-ish this whole rally has been. Whenever you get these major V rallies, you tend to get whipsaws. Just like you had in 98 and you had in the past. The crossover you had in early 2003 was not V-ish like this, okay? And think about it. The market is up 50% off the lows. So take a look at the statistics again at the bottom. You can see my yellow area. Look at the far right column. It says percentage move off the top bottom. You can see that what this means is that the market has rallied, well, on August 10th, the moving averages crossed for a buy. The 13 EMA crossed up over the 34 EMA for a buy signal. However, that it did so after the S&P rallied 51% off the lows. Well, take a look at some of the prior numbers. I didn't fill all these in over the weekend. I didn't have time, but I looked at the largest ones. The average tended to be about 7 to 8%. But you can see this 51% off the lows dwarfs anything in the past. Okay, and so it means it could be a statistical, it is a statistical anomaly. And so I think there's a chance for a whipsaw trade or a losing trade ultimately on this one. Also, there's been four winning trades in a row. You could see there's been four winning trades in a row since August, or since November 2000. And statistically, there's never been more than four winning trades in a row here. And so, what's the chance of a fifth? You know, so you have some things here that are just saying that, you know, statistically, this could be a whipsaw, and I think it probably will. Plus, you know, a system that gives you a buy signal after a 50% move off the bottom, you know, is suspect. And also, the long-term Elliott wave count still suggests that this is a large bear market rally. So there you go, folks. I've covered this again, and hopefully I don't get any more questions on it. I've covered it ad nauseum. Now let's move on to the market indexes, the daily, 60-minute, 30-minute, etc. The next chart is a daily chart of the S&P, and I already covered one of the daily charts of the S&P above in that ABC pattern. So here's another daily chart of the S&P. It could be some kind of large rising wedge forming, possibly with a, you know, a pullback sometime soon. Would maybe to an uptrend line would be a wave D, and then one more up into a wave E, and then eventually you break down. Just one possibility, but either way, we'll see. Here's another daily chart of the S&P, and a nice pullback here, maybe a 38% retracement from the July lows down to about 960 would be a wave B, and then you'd have one more move up in a wave C, and we think that would end the countertrend bear market rally. So, again, we have to see when the market pulls back the nature and extent of the pullback. If the U.S. dollar truly bottoms, then maybe the market won't make it up that long. Well, we'll just have to see. It's too early to say for sure. Next, here's just a simple chart. It's a daily chart of all the major indexes, the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, with Bollinger Bands. And the one thing I'm pointing out here is that all the major indexes have been consolidating here for about 2 weeks into these rectangle or triangle patterns, and they're around their middle Bollinger Band. And so they're either going to find support here, maybe have one more move up, or they're going to break down and go to the lower Bollinger Band. It's that simple, but either way, Bollinger Bands are tightening, and there's probably going to be a move here very shortly, I think early this week. Now, folks, let's look at the charts that are relevant for early this week, okay? And remember, it is options expiration. Here's a 60-minute chart of the S&P 500. You can see this expanding triangle thing. On Friday, when we sold off hard in the morning into midday, we found perfect support at the bottom of the triangle, and we rallied right off of it into the close. So we're kind of in no man's land here. We're either going to rally up higher and break out and go up one more time, or if we sell off and we break the uptrend line of the channel, if we take out 992, write that down in your notebook, guys, 992, then the market should begin a decent correction here. 992 appears to be key, okay? Stochastic's oversold on the 60-minute index charts. And so, you know, that's something to note as well. Next, here's a 30-minute chart of the S&P. You can see this nice triangle pattern. So, again, the key breakpoints are 992, the horizontal support, or the downtrend line of the channel, maybe 1013. So if you break over 1013, you should get one more rally up. And if you break 992, then you should get a correction. A correction would probably take it down to that 961 area, which is conveniently a 61.8% retracement of the move off the July lows. Next, here's another 30-minute chart of the S&P. Again, triangle. So, again, just the breakpoints are the trend lines of the triangle. So you can see a reoccurring theme here, guys. We're in no man's land here. We're consolidating. We're either going to break up or down early this week, I think. Okay? One or the other. Again, I can't tell you exactly which direction we're going to break. Just use the trend line and the breakpoints. Next, here's a 15-minute chart of the S&P. You can see this symmetrical triangle forming. It's possible we go up one more time here in a wave D, then go down in an E, and then eventually break out. Okay? So it's a consolidation triangle forming. Again, you can see my dotted line at 992. If 992 is lost, then any bullish implication is lost, and the market should have a decent pullback at least to 961. Next, here's a 60-minute chart of SDS. This is the ultra short 2x S&P 500 ETF. And you can see that it's, I like to use these moving averages, 10, 20, and 50 exponential moving averages. You can see they're all converging. That means a big move is coming. You can also draw a horizontal rectangle here. So if you want to trade the market, you could take a long if it breaks that 46.60 area, and or it could break to the downside. So something to watch. Stochastics are overbought and turning down. So again, nothing conclusive here, but it could break down one more time or it could break up. If the market decides to have one more rally, guys, I think that'll be it, at least in the short term. So again, the question is, are we going to break out one more time, or were the highs at the 1018 put in? Remember, the 38% Fibonacci retracement on the S&P from the October 2007 highs to the March 2009 lows was 1014. So we hit 1018. That's pretty close. And obviously that's been a major resistance area. Now let's look at the NASDAQ. You can see the NASDAQ here in the 60-minute chart. And again, you can see the 10, 20, and 50 exponential moving averages. They are coming together. You can see a horizontal rectangle pattern. Quite simply, we're either consolidating here for one more nice move up, or we're going to break support. Support is 1960, and resistance is that little high there. Write that down in your notebook. Stochastics oversold as well. So if the market wants to move up, that would be the fuel. Next, here's another chart of the NASDAQ. It's a 30-minute chart. Again, you can see the nice horizontal rectangle pattern. And by the way, the rectangle pattern is 53 points in height. So here's some other tech analysis for you. If we break support, we break 1962, then the NASDAQ, taking the channel, 53 points in height, subtract it from 1952, and you get 1609. Well, the 61.8% retracement is about 1906. You know, that's close enough. So it measures right around to that area. However, if we break to the upside, it would measure to 2068. So again, and resistance is 2015. So just watch this chart and see which direction it breaks. In your trading notebook, write this support down, 1962, and the resistance down, 2015. Stochastics are oversold as well. Next, here's a 15-minute chart of the NASDAQ. You can see this triangle forming. And next, here's a 30-minute chart of the Q. You basically see the same triangle forming. Again, that support area, I think, is around 39. So, again, folks, it's really easy. These are the key charts. These are on the blog under the dynamic chart links. So, quite simply, just respect the direction that these triangle patterns break, either to the upside or the downside. The intermediate for the short-term high is either in at 1018 for the S&P, and we're in some kind of wave B correction, or we might have one more push-up. But either way, you don't know until you break these triangle patterns. 992 is critical support on the S&P. Let's move on. The next thing is, since it's options expiration week, I want to cover some max pain charts. Max pain is basically, it's a theoretical number for options. It basically is a number that would cause the most number of calls and puts to expire worthless. As you know, in the market, the masses tend to be wrong, and so that's where max pain comes from. This is calculated by there's a website that does this, and that's where I pulled these charts from. And what I've noticed is that the market basically will tend to, it doesn't go exactly, but it will sometimes tend to gravitate toward the max pain prices, again, to cause the most pain for both bulls and bears. So for the SPY ETF here, you can see the max pain is 98, and Friday, the SPY closed at 180. And so, at least the max pain chart suggests that it could have a little downside. The only thing is, folks, that you know, it is options expiration on Friday, and so these numbers could change quite a bit in the next couple days as people square up options, but I'm just showing you what they are now. The SSO, you can see the max Friday's close is 31.20, max pain is 28, so there's a little downside if it wanted to reach or get close to the max pain. The same for the DIA, you could see max pain is 90, while the actual price is about 93.40. The same for the Qs, IWM, and SMH. So all the max pain numbers are suggesting maybe a little more downside. But again, these can change before Friday. So just there you go. Next, let's look at the market indicators, the key indicators we like. The next chart is a weekly chart of the NYSI, New York Stock Exchange Summation Index. And this has been a very good chart for identifying the major, basically the intermediate trends, swing trends, anywhere from a month to 3 months. And those of you, instead of trying to use that 13-34-week exponential moving average crossover, maybe for your 401ks, you could use something like this. Because most people who have 401ks at a place of work, you're allowed to move your money basically once a month. I used to work a job, by the way, a regular job. I used to be a chemist. I did not graduate in finance or as a broker. I was a research chemist. I graduated from the University of Illinois, and I worked in a laboratory for 10 years. And then I switched to this stuff. So, but anyway, when I was working a job, our 401k, or my 401k basically, you know, I had a choice of about 8 or 9 different mutual funds, and I could move them once a month or so. If I did it more than that, I would get a nasty letter from Fidelity. I'm sure many of you are the same. But this chart is something that will generally keep you in a trend for a few months. It's not perfect. It loses once in a while, and but it's gained about 500 S&P points since January of 2008, so it's been pretty good. Anyway, the point is on this chart, it is now getting overbought. It is not given a sell signal yet, as you can see. A sell signal is when you get a down candle on the weekly NYSI and when the 5-3 stochastics overlay cross down. None of that has happened yet, but this is something to watch this week and next week, as you can see. And the NASI weekly chart is the same thing. However, it does have a small down candle. But again, these two charts are something to now keep an eye on since they have worked their way to overbought. You can see they crossed over for a buy signal in early July, which was excellent. That was a nice buy signal for both of them, for the market. So it is now time to watch these closely. Again, these charts only matter at the end of the week, and so this chart, these two charts here, the NYSI and the NASI, really doesn't matter what they look like until the end of this week. In the next week, whatever. So there you go. And the next chart is the NASDAQ S&P 500 ratio. The tech stocks led this market up, and they are, and so it is what's shown here is that now the tech stocks are pulling back. And so that could be a little warning sign. Next here, the BP comp, bullish percent NASDAQ index. There is it's been moving up steadily, but there is some nice negative divergence here forming on the BP comp. And so that's a warning sign for the market. It hasn't, MACD hasn't crossed down yet, but it's something to keep an eye on now for the next week or two. The BP transports, bullish percent transports, gave a nice buy signal early July as well. Now that it is overbought, it needs to turn down, but it, again, it's just something to now put on your plate and watch for the future. Here's another chart. The percentage of S&P stocks above their 50-day moving average. It is now up in nosebleed territory, so it's something to watch. Again, it's not a sell signal, but it's just something to watch. And next, the VIX, Volatility Index, it continues to morph out in this huge, bullish, falling wedge. Eventually, this thing will break to the upside, but it hasn't done so yet. I think when this breaks to the upside, the market is going to have one hell of a correction. The market may even be topped when this happens, but just something to be aware of, something to keep an eye on the back burner. Now, let's look at China. Okay. First off, Chinese stocks, everyone's been talking about them. They've led this market as well. The Chinese market bottomed in basically around November. And Well, where our U.S. stock market did not bottom in November of last year, it bottomed in March. And so the Chinese market has led this market. However, it has been pulling back here pretty good. As you can see, the SSEC, Shanghai Index, stopped right at the 38% Fibonacci retracement 2 weeks ago, and it has now been pulling back here pretty good. And so one point here is that this could be an early warning sign that our market's going to pull back here. So, you know, just something to be aware of. And also, the 60 period stochastics on this chart, it's above 80, so watch the 80% level if it crosses below that. So anyway, just a note there, the Chinese market's looking a little toppy, or well, did 2 weeks ago, and it's been pulling back perfectly since then. Next support is that uptrend line I have drawn. Next, here's another Chinese index, HXC Halter Index, and you can see what it's done. It's had a huge rally up, maybe getting a little toppy here. Next, here's the HXC daily chart. It looks like a bearish rising wedge is forming, potentially. Support is the uptrend line of the wedge. I didn't put a wave count here, but this could be A, B, C, D pullback, find support at the uptrend line, and then have another rally up in an E, and then that would finally mark the top here of the wedge. Something to watch. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the next chart, FXI, this is the Chinese stock ETF. You can see the same rising wedge pattern. And rising wedge patterns you draw in these A, B, C, D, E numbers. And so this pullback here could be a wave D. Maybe you could get one more up if it wanted to in a wave E. And then that would mark a top of it. It would also set up negative divergence if it occurred. Then you would get another pullback. Then you would finally get a pullback to break the wedge, and really a decent pullback then. So maybe that's how it'll play out. Something to watch. Now let's move on to commodities. As we know, most commodities had a correction last week. I discussed that early on. The CRB index here, really nothing's changed in this count. It pulled back here, really nothing more to say. CRX index weekly chart, nothing more to say here. It's had a pretty strong move up. Really nothing's changed from last week. However, let's move on to crude oil. The next chart is a daily chart of crude oil. And that you can see that broken black uptrend line that I drew. Notice how we back tested a bunch of times. And it's acted as perfect resistance. You can see we sold off hard on Friday. Crude oil was down almost 4%. And so this chart is definitely playing out. Next, here's a weekly chart of crude oil. And again, just like our long-term picture on the S&P 500 as a wave A, B, C down, we think crude oil is going to do something similar. We think crude oil is in a major wave, primary wave B counter-trend rally, and eventually will correct in a major wave C down. So we don't see crude oil becoming too much of a problem for the economy. We think eventually it's going to come way down again. That's the longer-term picture. Gasoline, here's a look at gasoline futures. For those of you with Hummers or SUVs, gasoline here is forming in some kind of ascending triangle pattern. Support is the uptrend line. So let's see if it bounces off support, breaks out of this triangle eventually, or if it breaks down. Next, copper. As you can see on the next two charts, the daily and weekly charts, copper's had a huge move up, larger than most commodities. It's almost rallied to 61.8% from its highs in July 2008 and its lows in December. So it's had a huge move. But the weekly chart and the daily chart suggest that it's a little vertical. It needs a pullback. It needs it, guys. Now let's move on to gold, precious metals, and U.S. dollar. So first we're going to discuss the U.S. dollar. As I stated, I think the U.S. dollar is key in this market. The stock market, the S&P 500, Dow, etc., are trading inverse to the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar topped out in March, and that was when the U.S. stock market bottomed. And so, on the U.S. dollar here, I think when the U.S. dollar bottoms, it's going to spell trouble or disaster for the U.S. market and for commodities as well. Currently, I can count 5 waves down on U.S. dollar. Now, the 5th wave low for the U.S. dollar could be in, or we might still need another pullback. But either way, I think the U.S. dollar is in the process of making a major bottom. And when it is confirmed, I think it's going to be bad news for the general stock market. Now, the general stock market and U.S. dollar don't have to trade in tandem every day. Sometimes they could be out of sync for a week or so, a week or two. So the U.S. dollar could bottom and the market could hold up for a little bit. But either way, it'll eventually take the market down, I think. And so, again, it's hard to say if the wave 5 is in yet. But again, this is some kind of wave 5 down. Once it's over, we think that'll end major wave or primary wave B correction in the U.S. dollar. Then we'll have another major rally up in wave C that will take out the March highs. The next chart's another chart of the U.S. dollar. I just drew a channel, kind of a wedge in the channel, so resistance is the downtrend line there. So if the market wants to go up more, the general market, maybe the U.S. dollar has another pullback. Next is a daily chart of UUP. This is the U.S. dollar ETF, and falling wedge, as you can see. This chart was in last week's update as well, and you can see nice wedge pattern, 5-wave downtrend, huge volume on that last rally. And so it kind of, you know, it really is starting to, that really gives some evidence that maybe the 5th wave isn't. But again, it's not totally confirmed yet, but that was a nice move off the bottom. However, this next chart, which is the last chart I'm going to cover, which is a 60-minute chart of the U.S. dollar, or UUP. You can see the 60-minute chart, it had a nice move up. That was my chair squeaking, by the way. Anyway, maybe it looks a little V-ish, though, on the 60-minute chart here, so maybe get a little pullback before another move up. Hard to say. However, the last chart of the U.S. dollar, which is the weekly chart here, again, folks, we think the U.S. dollar is going to form a higher low. What I mean by higher low is a higher low above the March 2008 lows. We don't think the U.S. dollar is going to go down to make new lows at this time. We don't think it's going to happen. The masses think it's going to happen. CNBC thinks it's going to happen. Jim Cramer thinks it's going to happen. But because of all those things, it probably won't happen. And Elliott Wave tells us that it won't happen either. Everything about this looks like some kind of major ABC correction. Looks like we're forming wave B down. It'll form a higher low. Then we'll have a major wave B up that'll take out the March 2009 highs. And this will consequently correspond with a major correction in the U.S. stock market. That would correspond with the primary wave C down. That would really be devastating. So that's what we see as our big picture. No reason for us to alter that at this time. So that's it. Next, gold and precious metals. I don't have a daily chart of gold in here, but I have two ETF charts in here, DGP and GLD. DGP is the 2x ETF. Nothing's changed here, folks. Gold continues to consolidate in this symmetrical triangle pattern, so watch the direction that it breaks. Next, here's the weekly chart of gold. It's possibly a large inverse head and shoulder pattern. However, in order for this to be validated, it has to break the neckline, which is just over 1,000. Again, the thing that bothers me is if the U.S. dollar is truly going to make a wave B higher low and then rally up in wave C, then I don't see how this chart's going to play out. I don't think it will play out if that the U.S. dollar has that major rally like we're talking. I think the only way this chart's going to play out is if the U.S. dollar does not play out, like we said. So, but either way, the pattern is still valid, so that's why I have it break in either direction. You don't know until it happens. So the next chart is another weekly chart of gold. This is the bearish case. This would be the case that what would happen if the U.S. dollar does play out like we think it will, where it has a major rally this year. Your gold would top, would not form new highs, and would sell off again strongly, maybe down into the 600s. So I know that's opposite of what a lot of you think or a lot of the media thinks, but you know, if the U.S. dollar has that major rally, then that'll probably happen. Now moving on to silver. You know, lots of people are bullish on silver, but to me, silver is, while gold is near its highs, silver is so far from it. silver is not even $15, and its high was up around $21 last year. Silver is basically following general commodities, in my opinion. But anyway, silver is below its 61.8% retracement, that 16.5 area, and this current rally could be some kind of bear flag pattern. You can see I have drawn. Maybe it's a wave A1, A or 1, or a B, or a 2. Either way, it doesn't look that bullish to me. It looks more bearish, but otherwise, it's between support and resistance, so there you go. Here's a weekly chart of silver. It's SLV ETF. Again, everything on this chart tells me that it's some kind of ABC, with the move up being a wave B correction, and eventually you'll get a wave C down. Now, moving on to gold stocks. Here's a daily chart of GDX, the long-term chart. Basically, just like gold, it's forming this huge symmetrical triangle pattern. GDX 60-minute chart. The ratio crossed up last week, but then we got a pullback on Friday. The next key support is this little uptrend line. And let's see if that holds. If it doesn't, then gold stocks will pull back. Again, guys, gold stocks are basically following the market, so if the U.S. market has some more upside, then gold stocks will probably hold up. But if the U.S. market gets that nice pullback, then gold stocks probably will as well. The 15-minute chart of GDX looks a little better, in my opinion. My bull flag pattern didn't play out on Friday, but the ratio crossed at the end of the day. You can see the GDX-GLD ratio crossed at the top, so maybe we get some follow-through. So we'll just have to see. Otherwise, individual gold stocks are pretty much of a mess. I'm not going to cover them this weekend. Here's a weekly chart of the Huey. This still looks like some kind of big bear flag or rising wedge forming on the weekly. And the ratio charts, here's a gold GDM, GLD, or gold stocks to gold metal ratio. Again, you can see the symmetrical triangle forming on gold, but on a ratio you can see a rising channel and a triangle forming there. Either way, the key support is that uptrend line of the ratio. If that uptrend line is broken, that'll be very bearish for gold metal and gold stocks. Both gold metal and gold stocks do better when the stocks are outperforming, and they have been outperforming really since October of last year. But if this uptrend line of the channel is lost, then it's bearish. But if it breaks the downtrend line here, then they'll have more upside. And the BPGDM, that's the bullish percent gold stock index. It crossed the 8 moving average down last week for a potential sell signal. This last signal was a whipsaw, the last buy signal, so that's it. And lastly, here's some watch list trade ideas. I was going to go over all the individual watch list items tonight, folks, but honestly, there's already 70 charts in here, so I didn't feel there was really time, so I just put the links here at the bottom of the newsletter. These are also on the watch list themselves. So anyway, folks, again, let's see what happens this week. Remember, it's options expiration, and remember to keep it simple. For the major indexes, the key patterns are those 30 and 60 minute, 15 minute charts of the S&P, NASDAQ, and key support for the S&P is 992, and watch that area. If that's broken, then any bullish symmetry is lost. So again, in short, we're in triangle patterns, consolidation patterns. We've either begun a correction, or we're going to have one more move up. Hard to say, just respect the breakpoints on those triangles. And remember, we are in the dog days of summer. Volume is trailing down, and that's it. Anyway, I've talked long enough. Time for me to get off this thing. I will talk to you later. Have a great evening.